Appreciate the song. It was sung by the sister. I don't know that I can say that I enjoyed it, but I appreciate it. And I feel like I constantly owe the Lord an apology for the way that I live my life. You know, I made a statement this week as a joke, and the Lord opened my eyes to make me see how much truth was really in it. I don't know if anybody knows or if anybody cares and probably doesn't keep up with, but I like football, and I probably like football too much. I'm a big University of Tennessee football fan, and I want you to know their program's in the biggest mess they've probably ever been in. Somebody asked me the other day, said, man, they can't find a coach. They fired their administration. They're burning mattresses in the street and cursing everything that's ever happened. And somebody asked for my response, and I said, not thinking mainly as a joke, you know, I've been praying for God to remove any type of idol out of my life and any distraction. Maybe this is just God's way of taking football away from me. And I was saying that jokingly, but I look at how much time and energy I have devoted to other things in my life other than God. And it can be as simple as a sports team. It can be as simple as a season or a holiday. It can be as simple as your children and your family. But anything you put before God is an idol. Anything that takes time and energy and effort away from God and the praise and the effort that He deserves is unprofitable. And I pray that God would continue to show me where I fail so that I could do better. You know, if you always live your life assuming you're doing everything right, you will never be shown where you are wrong and how that you might improve. It hurts sometimes to be shown where you're wrong, but it's beneficial in the long run so that you might learn how to do better. I'm not come today to point out anybody else's idols or to point out to anybody else what they may or may not be allowing to stand in the way of God. I'll say this, shame on myself, but how many of us have spent more time thinking about and concentrating on Christmas than we have truly about what Christmas is all about? We're very guilty to point fingers at the world for kind of over-socializing Christmas and making it too commercialized. And I would venture to say that Baptist people may be some of the worst in that area. I love Christmas. I love Christmas lights and decorations and all of those things. But if I am more focused on that than what the season is truly about, I have allowed that to become an idol in my life. You may think, preacher, you're just pointing out everything at me today. No, I'm just pointing out everything at me. And if it happens to brush up against you too, then to God be the glory. But may we all examine our lives today to see what is it that's keeping me from having that closeness with God. I was listening this morning. I was getting ready to nail it to the cross. And it starts out, is there something in your life between you and the Lord? Yeah, but there's not just one thing. There's a lot of things between me and the Lord. And I pray that He would help me to purge them one by one that I might come closer to Him. I wonder if there might be anything on anybody's heart before we might move further in the service today. Anything that the Holy Spirit's leading or impressing on you to say or do. If not, pray for me today. Pray for the message as it goes forward, that the Lord's will would be accomplished in these things and that He ultimately would receive all the honor and glory. All right, if you have your Bibles and want to turn along with me, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in the 13th verse. For those of you who are in the adult Sunday school class, you will see very soon why that Brother Jason once again has done the pleasure of walking all over my sermon in Sunday school. And you know what? I've just come to expect it at this point, and I look forward to it when it happens. Brother Jason read out of the 17th chapter of Acts this morning, and I imagine that we'll touch on that briefly in just a moment. But Brother Tom brought up a very interesting question, and I believe that it can be appropriately answered in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I begin reading in verse 13. I want you to follow along with us. It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like these of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, with the mistakes I might have made, that's written just a few verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, to bring reference to what's going on, I would like to go back and look at the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, what we find in Acts chapter 17, I think most of us know about the Acts of the Apostles. This was technically written by Luke, but it was written in large part about Paul and about the early apostles of the church and about the work that they were doing, setting up churches and going abroad, spreading the gospel. And what we find here in chapter 17, and Brother Tom and Brother Jason made mention of this morning, you'll find there in verse 2 of 17th chapter of Acts, that the Bible says that when Paul and Timothy and some of the others came into the city of Thessalonica, that they preached just 3 Sabbath days. There was an approximation that they might have been there before and after those Sabbaths, but within reason, they were probably there about a month. Now, you can imagine him only preaching 3 Sabbath days, and I'm sure that there were Bible studies, and I know that what we read about a little bit further in chapter 17 is that there were other discussions going on in the synagogue. But what I want you to understand is these are people that were contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They believed wholeheartedly and passionately something other than what was being preached to them. But in just 3 or 4 weeks, they had such a change of heart that the Apostle Paul was able to set up a church there in Thessalonica. It went on to be a great work for God. It went on to be a great light in that community. And we'll read maybe a little bit more in 1 Thessalonians about how blessed this people became, how many souls were saved, how many missions no doubt came out of this church. And it all started from just 3 sermons by the Apostle Paul. Now, we talked about a little bit in Sunday school how much you would think that the effect that the Apostle Paul had on the people of Thessalonica. I want you to know it wasn't Paul's effect. It was God's effect on the people of Thessalonica. In just 3 sermons, you think, man, that's a lot of ground to cover in just 3 Sundays. I'm sure that it was, but I know that where we feel like we're weak, God will make us strong. Matthew 19 and 26 says, those things that seem impossible with man are made possible by God. I know that it was able to set up a church there. I know they had success, but not because of the Apostle Paul, not because of Timothy, not because that they were Jews or Gentiles before, but because God had a work for that church. So what we find there just in 3 days, it talks about in that Acts chapter 17 about how receptive that we were, how that they were. It goes on and says, and it talks about that other church just past that, I believe, at Berea. And it talks about how that they were more noble than those that were at Thessalonica. Now, I don't want you to think that they were any more haughty or that God thought more of them. They were a little more diligent in their study of the Word. Now, I want you to know that I believe Berea was blessed too. But Paul didn't go back and send Timothy back to Berea. He sent Timothy back, and he wrote to Thessalonica for a purpose. Pray for me today. So when we understand that what's going on here is that the Apostle Paul and Timothy were here at Thessalonica. He preached. Many people were converted. They trusted and believed in the words that were preached to them. They got saved. They became the children of God, and a church was established. And I want you to know that, as we talked about in Sunday school so many times, and if you've not been privileged to that information, if you don't know much about the Apostle Paul, when he goes into a place and he preaches the gospel and people are saved and a church is established, he doesn't stick around to see how good it's going to be. You would find he has kind of this Johnny Appleseed mentality. He goes and plants, but he never comes back to look for the orchard. He just goes and he plants and he plants and he plants. And on occasion, he'll send somebody back to where he's been before. What we understand about the book of Thessalonians, especially the first letter to Thessalonians, is that Paul is sending Timothy back to this church to see how well they're surviving. Brother Tom said this morning, I mean, how strong could a church really be in just 3 weeks of instruction? Well, that's what we find out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to know that when they went back to Thessalonica, not only was that church still there, not only was she still sound, she was fighting against the adversary, people were still being saved. I want you to know that church exploded onto the scene. They were blessed beyond measure upon more than hardly any of them had ever seen all from 3 weeks of preaching. You say, how is that possible? Well, listen when the Word of God is preached, and you'll probably hear how it's possible. It says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. How is it possible that a church can be established and a whole community can be, as we said, Brother Jason, later in that chapter, turned upside down in that community? How is that possible? Because they took the Word of God. They took the message of Paul and Timothy, and they didn't think it was just their words. They recognized this is God talking to us. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, I was talking to a preacher just the other day, and he said to me, Brother Andrew, what do you think the biggest kind of struggle facing the church is right now? And I'm not talking about all the churches in general. I'm not a member of every church. I'm not the pastor of every church. All I can do is keep my head on straight and try to pay attention to what's happening here. But what I see in our people is that we have a lot of preachers getting up preaching good messages, and they're preaching the truth. And a lot of times I see the same things being preached. You see traits, you see attributes, you see profitable things and behaviors. And what we see a lot of times in preaching, and I'm not bad-mouthing any preacher here today, I've probably been guilty of it myself, but we've been very good as missionary Baptists telling everybody what they're doing right and or what they're doing wrong and what is right, but we don't tell them how to bridge the gap. We come in and say, we're awful. We're nothing like what God wants us to be. We're not praying right. We're not living right. We're not worshiping right. This is what right looks like. Now do it. And I feel like a lot of God's people walk away and they're thinking within their heart, but how do I do it? How? I see God wants me over here, and right now I'm over here, but preacher, help me to find my way. Brothers and sisters, I think that what we've got here is a classic case of a church and a people who maybe have forgotten or never knew the fundamentals of having a relationship with God. Everybody wants to come in, and everybody thinks, again, going back to sports, I won't be preaching about it much more if God takes it away from me, but I know that everybody thinks that they're just one good head coach away from winning a championship. Everybody's just one or two things away from being the next best thing. And in reality, sometimes when you have new coaches come into programs, they go in to call a play, they want to try something new, and your people don't know how to block, they don't know how to tackle, and they don't know how to throw a pass. Listen, I want you to know, I don't care what kind of sport it is, if you don't know the fundamentals, it's going to be hard for you to go out and win games. And brothers and sisters, what we've got is that we've got coaches that come in, and they're barking at us, and we're getting all promoted, we're getting pumped up, we're getting excited, but we go out and we don't know the fundamentals, and what's happening? We're failing in large part by the droves. It's not like we're not doing as good as we used to. We're not doing anything at all. I want you to know, in fact, anything that we do, it seems like we're just tagging on to somebody else's. When was the last time we actually helped somebody that was in need? When was the last time we actually went out and worshiped with those that are homeless and those that are without and have no food, have no place to live? We'll give to a noble cause and we'll tag on to what they're already doing. But I don't hardly ever see any of us going out and doing something for God ourselves. Here today is just one fundamental portion of how you can get from where you are to where God wants you. And that is listening and trusting in and applying to and seeking God's help with the Word of God that is preached to you on almost a daily basis. I hear a lot of people, and I can tell you as a pastor, it gets kind of frustrating. Somebody come up to me in private and say, Brother Andrew, I'm really struggling with something, and I don't know how to deal with it. You know, the only thing that frustrates me about that is if I preached it last week and then you come into me and say, I don't know how to do it. Well, if you'd listened last Sunday, you'd probably know what was going on. Here's what I know about people listening to the Word of God is that oftentimes we're distracted. Oftentimes we think that it's just somebody's words and not God's words. Why do you think that the words of God never reach their full potential? Because we don't believe that they're the words of God. When somebody comes in and preaches a message, what's the first thing out of our mouth? I enjoyed your message. I liked the things you had to say. I liked the way you brought that out. It ain't about me. Never has been, never will be. It wasn't about the Apostle Paul. It wasn't about Timothy or any other great preacher. It's about the words of God taking and having an effect in the hearts of God's people. And when you don't open your heart and you don't open your ears to hear what the Word of God says, you're going to miss the fundamentals that can help you be a better child of God. We're all crying out like we don't know what to do, and yet week after week, God's trying to tell us what to do, and we're just not listening. How many times? I want you to know, I've heard it so many times. I don't know if you're sick of hearing it. I know I am. People saying, feel like Brother Drew preaches the same thing over and over again. If you only knew how true that was, how sick and tired I get, how many times that I have pled with God by myself and alone and got down on my face presuming that I've done something wrong. Somehow, God, you keep leading me back to the same thing. I'd like to encourage these people. I'd like to be able to lift them up, but every time I turn around, it seems like all I'm doing is tearing down and rebuking people. Why do you think that is? Listen, I've told you before and I'll tell you again. You want me to stop preaching something? Start listening and I can quit. Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth because they're not mine. They're His. If you want to know how to be a better child of God, if you want to ask God to help you to get from one place to another, start listening to the preacher, and believe it or not, he's liable to tell you just what you're looking for. You ever been there before? You've been going through something in your life, you've been struggling with some type of battle, and you say, God, I just need to know. I just need a little instruction. Sometimes, one time or another, you just need a little bit of encouragement. And if you're not careful, you'll go into church, and the preacher will say the very thing you're looking for. Why? Because it's not what I'm saying. It's what God is saying. These people believed that these words were God's words, and it changed their lives. And if we'll start living by that same understanding, that when the word of God's being preached, I don't care if this preacher's been preaching 5 minutes, 5 years, or five lifetimes, if God is in it, you ought to shut up and put distractions out of your mind and pay attention to what doth saith the word of God. What it said there in Acts 17 about those at Berea, it said that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica, but the scripture says that they searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They were interested. They were desirous of what the word of God was saying. I want you to know, when you look back in our history and you look at some portions of time in the scripture about those people that paid attention when the word of God was preached, they would come from miles around. They would walk. They would ride buggies, and many of us can't find a way to get here on time, and we got vehicles that'll go 90 miles an hour. I want you to know, it's not about the distractions. It's not about how late you stayed up last night or how bad you feel. If you really want to get to church, you'll get to church. I can't not come to church. I can't live without this place. I'm nothing without the instruction of God, and yet every Sunday we come in. People sit in those seats, and we all get ready to sing. We're all prayed up, and then the preaching starts, and it's like, all right, now I can turn off. Hey, do you got any breath mints? Hey, y'all sit down, hush. Hey, did you bring the money? Okay, never mind. Where's my phone? Is my phone off? Is that your phone? Whose phone is that, man? Anyways, oh, he's getting up and preaching. Good. Okay, where was he at? Did anybody hear where he was preaching from? It don't matter. I'll just listen. Maybe I'll get something out of it anyways. Then you leave church saying, I just didn't get much out of that today. I can't imagine why. Let's kind of precurse just the listening while you're here. Did you know there's something you're supposed to do before you ever get to the house of God that's going to prep you to hear the word of God that it might have effect in your heart? When was the last time you did that? I'm not talking about praying. Listen, most of us, when we pray on Sunday morning, it's that we don't kill our family and we get there even close to halfway on time. You may be praying, but I'm sure it's not, God, open my ears and my mind and my heart today that I might hear what the preacher has to say, that it might touch me and mold me into what you'd have for me to be. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that it is a very crucial part that we prepare ourselves to hear the word of God. The scripture talks about, and even Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, when talking about the parable of the good seed, he was talking about how important it was to have good fertile ground that had been tilled, that was open and ready to receive the seed. I want you to know, just think within yourselves. You come in tilled up this morning, fertilized, good and watered and ready to take the seed, or have you not even looked at your field yet? Just be honest with yourselves. When you came in, were you ready to hear the word of God? I want you to know that sometimes I feel like preaching's just the last thing before we dismiss and not the most important portion of the service. When you come to church, there are three things. I want you to know there's a major cultural problem with not just America, but with our churches. About what church is and what you're intended to do when you get here. When you come, it's not just singing, it's worship. I already talked about that because it's been on my heart all week. But when you pray, you ought to really get in touch with God. And not just at that time to bring up the prayer requests that have been made, but if not before then, you ought to start saying, God, open my eyes, open my ears and my heart to hear the Word of God preached today, that it might apply itself to me in a way that'd be beneficial. You may think that when the preacher gets up and he preaches something, you may think, that really wasn't for me today. It may not be you for you today, but it might be for you on Thursday. It might be for you next Saturday. It might be for you 2 months from now. And I want you to know, if you're listening to the Word of God, He can bring those things back to your remembrance in a time appropriate. But if you're not paying attention, what benefit is it for the preacher to get up and preach? Preachers, you ever felt that way before, any of you? You feel like you've studied and prepared yourself, you get up, and people just rather be anywhere than listening to the Word of God. Listen, I want you to know, if you think honestly that a sermon is just the work of man, then you are sadly and sorely mistaken. I want you to know, a greater portion of time with any good minister is spent on his face begging God to show him what the appropriate thing is to preach and worrying about if it's right or wrong. You know how many times I've argued with God about preaching the right or wrong thing? You know how many nights I've set up, and this isn't about me. I'm just telling you, this is how much it's not about me, because I wrestle over it. I wonder over it. I worry over it. And nevertheless, when it comes down to it, it's still God's and not mine. So I don't need to get upset when nobody pays attention to me, because it's not me you're not paying attention to. It's God you're ignoring. So then we get this understanding that it seems like our people are ignoring the words of God. You're like, no, I'm not ignoring him. I've been here the whole time. I mean, I don't always pay attention to Brother Drew, but if God's talking, I'm listening. Do you know what a pastor is here for? Do you understand the work of an under-shepherd? My job is simply to take a message that's been given to me and give it to you. I don't get to decide what I preach. If it were, it wouldn't be oftentimes what I'm preaching. But it's intended for a purpose. And if that purpose is hard-hearted, and if it's distracted, and if it's not paying attention, and it refuses to listen, then what effect is it having? Imagine if Paul had come into Thessalonica and nobody showed up on those three Sabbath days. You say, yeah, well, God probably would have left him there. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't have. God had 3 weeks to turn people around, and we've been hearing the same message in this church for 3 years. Do you see anything turned around? I'll tell you this. You know how bad it hurts when you preach something and you see somebody go out the next week and do the very thing that you preached against on Sunday? You have any idea how much of a smack in the face it is when you're trying your best to preach the Word of God and ain't nobody paying attention? But you know what? I shouldn't take it personally, because it's not mine, it's his. So first off, I want you to understand that you need to prepare yourself before you ever get here, okay? Before you ever get to church, you need to be praying and asking God, show me how this message today applies to me. And if it goes well with you, I don't think it's being too selfish to ask you to pray for the message bearer. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And I want you to know, I need all the help I can get. I need all the prayers I can get, because oftentimes you've seen it. I can't say things correctly. I mispronounce things all the time. I get ahead of myself. I tell you to go to the wrong place in the Bible and read from somewhere else. I'm human. I'm flesh and blood. I make mistakes. I need God's help. So then, just rather than being selfish and saying, God, help me, why don't you once in a while pray for the message as it goes forth? Because all of us need it. But not even so, just before you get here, the scripture tells us that we would receive the word with all meekness and readiness of heart. Are you ready to hear the word of God when it's preached? I already talked to you about being distracted. Here's something I want you to know. There's no excuse worthy of being distracted from hearing the word of God. Now, I know I'm about to get some looks from some young mothers out there saying, preacher, you have not met my kids. Yes, I have. I've met your kids. I don't know there's any worse than mine, okay? You know how many times I've heard my wife say, you know, I think you probably did a decent job this morning. I'm sorry, I really don't know that much, because I've been trying to take care of the kids. I totally understand that. Here's what I want to tell all you young mothers out there that feel like you're missing everything God's trying to tell you. Go back and listen to the message again when your baby's asleep on Monday or Tuesday night. Because with the technology we have today, there's no reason why somebody can't hear what God's trying to tell this conversation and this congregation. All right, now, when you say, well, my kids are distracting, guess what? One, two, three, four, five. There may be five or six couples on here in any given Sunday that have kids that are actually a distraction. I don't know what everybody else's excuse is. All of us are distracted at one time or another, so don't blame it on children. Blame it on yourself. Find out what it is that's causing you to be distracted. And you know what? I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to step on some toes today. And if you don't like it, then you can clear the pulpit if you want to. I'm just going to tell you honestly. You know how many times I see people falling asleep in church? Now, some people have a legitimate reason why they're falling asleep. And unfortunately, a lot of the other people's reason is they just stayed up too late. Did you know that going to bed at an appropriate time is part of getting ready to come to church? Oh, preacher, don't you get on me about this. Don't you go down that road. Okay, listen, I don't care what you do in your personal time as long as it doesn't impede you hearing the Word of God. But when it becomes a distraction to you and you're dozing off every 37 seconds and somebody's having to smack you on the back of the head, you might should consider going to bed earlier. And by earlier, I mean like sometime before 3 in the morning. Church is not early. I mean, hardly anybody comes to Sunday school, so what you're really looking at is about 11 o'clock. And everybody else, that's lunchtime on a normal day. You mean to tell me that you had all Saturday to get yourself ready and do whatever you wanted to do, to have your hobbies, to run your errands, and do everything else, spend time with family, and yet you still had to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then you come into church the next day at lunchtime, and you still can't stay awake? Some of us need to look at how ridiculous that really is. And if some of us don't want to see it, then the rest of us need to see it for us. Okay? Kids, sleep deprivation. Whatever's weighing you down on the outside. Apparently nobody ever read 1 Peter before. Because what does he say in chapter 5 and verse 7? All those cares that easily beset you, all those struggles you have in your life that God already told you He'd take care of, what does He say when you come to the house of God? Take them to the altar and leave them there. Why do you think we have prayer before the sermon? Because if there is something distracting you, take it to God. But yet, we don't. We have prayer and nobody prays, another cultural issue that we have. I told one of the deacons not long ago, I'm going to quit praying in church. And I think all of you are looking at me like, okay, especially if you're a visitor, don't run away just yet, okay? I'm not serious. Come in, they're preaching, don't even pray with them. I'm going. I'm calling the cops. I'm never going back there again. It's my job to do my best to feed the flock. It's not my job to lead you in prayer. Prayer is something each one of you need to be doing. Trust me, I may be failing a lot, but I'm still doing it. I could do it more, but I want you to know, I'm terrified just about every Sunday when I get here. I'm glad it's that way. Keeps me where I need to be, understanding that I have no ability of myself. It's got to be all of Him. But brothers and sisters, when you have time to pray, why aren't you praying? Well, you're probably going to say again that you're distracted. Well, I was going to pray, but then I had to get chewing gum and somebody else wanted to use my cell phone. I was trying to fill this one's cup. Wake up a little early. Think through what might happen in service and better prepare yourself to be here when you're here. If there's something honestly between you and God, nail it to the cross so you can hear the word He wants you to hear. You all, myself included, stand without excuse if you walk out of this house not getting something out of the message every single week. Because the Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for instruction, for doctrine, for reproof, for education. All of those things are good in every single verse of the Word of God. You can't come in some Sunday and say, I didn't get nothing out of that message. Then clearly you weren't listening. Because there's something for everybody every single time. So when you're here, be here. Let me tell you something. And if you do this already, then kudos to you, but a lot of people aren't. Do you know that it's okay to take notes in church? Do you know that was all right? I don't care. You can take notes. And you can come show me later how I messed up if you want to. I'm good with that. You say, well, preacher, why in the world would I take notes? I'm out of school for a reason. Let me tell you something. If you take notes about something and you go back read it on Monday, you're probably going to remember more than if you hadn't taken notes. And if you keep those notes in a place that's special to you where nobody can hardly get to them or destroy them, you can go back a year from now, and believe it or not, I bet God could bring those things back to your memory again. Whatever happened to people taking notes? I ain't got time for that, preacher. Now, I ain't bringing a notepad. My hands get tired. You know what I think it is? I'm just going to be honest with you. I just think that getting something out of the message is a little too much work for a lot of lazy Christians. That's what I think. I want to be spoon-fed. I want you to put my bib on. I want you to prepare the meal. I want you to come it up and cut it up in little bitty chunks, and I want you to feed it to me bite by bite, and then I want you to help me. I want you to bounce me on your knee like a little baby so I can digest it properly and my stomach don't get upset. Church, if you want to be babes forever, then assume that God's going to treat you that way forever. But I don't know about you, but as for me, I'd like to get to the meat someday. I would like to mature in my walk with God at some point that He could trust me to listen to the Word of God in so much that He could actually give me something that's huge and big and life-changing, and I can go home and actually apply it to my life. You can take notes. It's perfectly fine. And if you need a notebook, I'll buy them. I'll buy pens. I'll buy paper. I'll slow down if God can help me. But if there's anything I can do to help you understand the Word of God better, may God be my help to do it. Because there is nothing any more important than walking out of here and knowing what the Word of God was that was preached. And how sad it is that when we walk out of these doors and you don't much more have to get to lunch and somebody say, how was church? I bet you remember what song was stated. I bet you can remember everybody that testified. And I'd bet you a plug nickel you probably can't remember where the preacher preached from. It was a good sermon. What was it? I don't know. It's good, though. How would you know if it was good if you don't even remember what it was about? Obviously, it wasn't that good. Because good's not about how funny he was. It's not about how fiery he was. It wasn't if he stayed in the pulpit or he took his jacket off or if he used whatever and whatever. It's about if that word had an effect in your heart today. Amen. Brothers and sisters, prepare yourselves before you get here and be in the room while you're here and concentrate and focus on what's being done. But I want you to know something. When the preacher gets done preaching, the message is not over. When the preacher gets done preaching, the message is not over. In fact, it's just beginning. Do you think that God has brought a message to the preacher every week just so you could enjoy it for the 45 minutes you're here and then it never touch your life again? What good would that be? In all actuality, when you're listening to the Word of God, you should be doing a little bit of multitasking. Here's something I want you to know. Brother Devin, I won't be too much longer. I'm just giving you a heads up. For preachers, preaching is kind of an out-of-body experience. And I can't really explain it well if you're not a preacher. But I want you to know, when I'm preaching, I can think things. And when I'm preaching, I sense things. And when I'm preaching, 9 times out of 10, I'm praying under my breath. Say, preacher, how can you do all that? What did I say? Matthew 19:26. Physically, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So when the Word of God is preached, first and foremost, you should be paying attention. Secondly, you should be thinking about ways that it applies to your life. And thirdly, you should be praying and asking God to show you how you can implement this in your life. Preacher, how am I supposed to do all that? Well, you'd be surprised if you would remove distractions, turn off your phone, pay attention to the preacher, and try to think about and pray about what's going on. You'd be surprised how much of a spiritual experience sitting under preaching can be. People come in and out of church saying, man, I didn't get nothing out of it today. Just felt like it was cold. Did you try to get involved in the preaching? I didn't preach. Listen, there's a lot more people involved in preaching than just the preacher. So how was it received? What were you doing while he was preaching? And then after he gets done, there should be this continuation in your heart. That should be just the beginning. When you go home that afternoon, you know what you ought to do? I'm not telling you how to live your life. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You ought to ask God to show you how it applies to your life. When was the last time you prayed about a sermon after it was preached? Anybody? When was the last time a sermon touched you so deeply and so truly that you couldn't stop thinking about it? Say, well, preacher, that doesn't happen very often. Well, part of that may be my fault. But part of it may be your fault. Why? Because when we leave here, we leave the message here. You don't believe me? Do you talk about the message with your family? I'm on a roll today. I might as well just go for it. I'm going to step on some toes, okay? Men of the church, you know it's your responsibility to bring it back up to your family. It's your job to help cultivate that knowledge in your wife and in your children. It's your job to make a mental note of what the preacher's preaching and go back and study it even more on your own. Why? Not only so that you might be the strongest in a spiritual sense in your family, but that your family might see you doing it. Men of the church, when was the last time your wife and children saw you study the Word of God? When was the last time you went home to your family and said, "Wow, I really enjoyed that message today. Anybody else get anything out of it? What'd y'all think?" I would say the reason we probably quit asking is because people probably quit answering because people probably weren't paying attention. So let's get past the Brother Drew thing, because I have a feeling some people are out there going, "Oh, I just feel so sorry for him." Don't. Don't feel sorry for me. Because guess what? I was preaching before I was your pastor, and I'll preach after I'm your pastor. This is a calling God's put on my life. I know that it doesn't have anything to do with me. But I also know that this truth is something so valuable that it can stay with this church until it goes out of existence. And even if you leave here someday, maybe you go off to college, maybe God moves you to a separate church, maybe you go overseas and serve in some capacity for the work of God, one thing will remain true throughout the rest of your life, is there is nothing more important than how you respond to the preached Word of God. Church, listen to me today. When the Word of God is preached, you need to digest it. You need to hear it. You need to understand it. That's the last point I want to make, I promise, Devin. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, the prophet Jeremiah was talking about the Word of God coming to him. And does anybody know what word he used to describe how he encountered the Word of God? He said, "The Word of God came to me, and I did eat." What in the world is he talking about? How many of you have ever heard a preacher say right before service is about over, say, "Now I want you to go home, and I want you all to chew on this week"? Do what? Listen, Baptist people, you all may know what that means. But to somebody who maybe wasn't raised in this way, they probably think that we're freaks. Go home and chew on words. What's he talking about? We take for granted all this nomenclature and this kind of normal words we use. People may not know what that means. So let me explain to you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, "Men shall not live by bread alone, but out of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He was talking about digesting or feeding on the Word of God. You don't believe me? When he was talking to one of his disciples, he said, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Thou knowest that I do." He said, "Then feed my sheep." Again, making reference to the spiritual feeding of the Word of God. Listen, do you feel... It's going to sound a little bit like an infomercial, okay? Too bad it's not 2 o'clock in the morning and everybody just can't sleep. You ever feel cold and far away from God? You ever realize you're not as close as you used to be? Do you go week in and week out just wanting something real in your heart for God to open up and show you something? Well, then let me introduce you to something that's very new, hot off the press. I'm sure you've never seen it before. It's called the Preached Word of God. It can be found in any local congregation, normally once, twice, maybe even three times a week. You want something? You want to be fed? Are you hungry? That may be a good question to start with. Do you even want it? I mean, honestly, let me just be honest. If you don't want me to preach and you don't want to hear it, what am I doing here? Why am I wasting my time? Why would any preacher study and fall on his face before an almighty God if he's just going to come in here and nobody's going to receive it? Do you want it? Are you hungry? Scripture tells us, "Blessed is a man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he will be filled." Proverbs 27 and 7 says, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, "To a full soul, even the honeycomb is bitter, but to a hungry soul, even the bitter thing is sweet." When you want God to feed you, it may hurt, but it's still good because it feeds you. When you desire to have understanding, sometimes it hurts a little bit when it comes in. It's a little hard to digest. Anybody ever out there got spiritual indigestion before? You bit off a little more than you can chew and it hurts a little bit going down? You ever had spiritual heartburn? 2 days later, you still can't get over what you digested on Sunday? Man, I'm still hurting because of that message. It's good for you. It means you're growing. But that's just my curiosity today. I don't want to take it too lightly, and I don't want to brush this off like it's no big deal. I don't want to pawn it off as if it's of the similitude of an infomercial. I'm just trying to make it relatable to you today. Are you or are you not hungry for the Word of God? Do you or do you not want to hear what He's trying to tell you? Do you want to grow or do you want to become stagnant? Do you want this church to be better than it was when you found it, or do you want it to die before you do? Which is it? I hope and pray today. I'm kind of glad that I'm a little simmered down. Because today's not about some newfangled idea. It's not some Old Testament story that I'm trying to relate to today, and I feel like the Lord's trying to show us something perfect. It's not just some small doctrine. What I'm trying to tell you today is how to act every time you come into the house of God. You'll never grow out of needing to be preached to. And brothers and sisters, if you're really hungry, you'll never get tired of being preached to. You need to come ready, listen while you're here, and apply it to your life after you're gone by the help of God. And when we start treating every sermon that way, I bet you'll start to see the whole counsel of God come back. I bet you'll see things preached in a way you never thought was possible. And believe it or not, I bet there's more things being preached that are beneficial to you than you realize because you weren't paying attention. I got to be done, Brother Devin. I don't want to be, but I need to be. I hope that this message will be a help to someone today. I hope that in the future moving forward, that it will change the way we act when the Word of God is preached, that we'll prepare ourselves to hear the Word of God, and that we'll allow it to have the effect that God wants it to. That's my message today.